Well, we're thinking on these Sunday mornings about the Christmas playlist, the first Christmas playlist. There's so many Christmas songs around, and as we've mentioned before, you'll hear them on the radio, in the shops, on the TV, in the adverts, on the music channels, whole music channels dedicated to Christmas songs. I love them. I love them all. But what about that first Christmas playlist? If there had been a music channel for the Christmas songs around in the first century, what would it have consisted of? Well, we've been looking at two of them so far, then a third one this morning. We've seen Mary's song, the mother of Jesus. Last week we thought about Zechariah's song, the father of John the Baptist. So let's think this morning about the song that Simeon sang. Simeon was an old man in the temple of Jerusalem. Simeon, let's think a little bit about, what do we know about Simeon? Something about him. Well, in verse 25, we see that Simeon, if you turn to Luke chapter 2, this is, Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, we see that Simeon was a godly man. As we read, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. It was both those things. Now, we saw this a few months ago in another character from the Scriptures when we were looking at New Testament characters earlier on this year. Righteous and devout. What a great balance that is. Just to be righteous might mean that you become a religious snob looking down your nose at sinners. But to add devout to righteous is a godly cocktail. And it means that you'll look at different people in a devotional way to God. So you'll look at people in the same way that Jesus looked at people, which was not to look down at them at all, but to seek to help them and to bring them to salvation. And this was Simeon, a man of firm principles that he was righteous, but a man of spiritual warmth because he was devout. He was a godly man. Second thing we know about him is that he had a great hope. In verse 25, we read, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation. This was his hope. Now, just as we saw recently with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, so also with Simeon, they were part of the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't begun for them yet. Even though their stories are recorded in the New Testament, they weren't part of it. They were still part of the Old Testament, looking forward to something great, to the cross, to the resurrection, to the new covenant. So these godly Israelites, Mary, Zechariah, and Simeon, all had this tremendous hope that one day the Messiah would be born. They knew this because God had made promises to King David. He'd made promises to Father Abraham. And he made promises through all his servants, the prophets, that one day a Messiah would be born. If you look at verse 38, which is a little bit beyond our scope this morning, but in verse 38, we have this lady, Anna, who's speaking. And she comes up to Mary and Joseph at that very moment, and she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child, Jesus, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So there was this remnant around that was looking forward to something great, the redemption of Jerusalem, the birth of the Messiah, the light of the world, the glory of Israel. And Simeon was amongst those people. He knew that one day the Messiah would be born who would liberate God's waiting people. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, the consolation of Israel is a term that we can give to the Messiah. It's probably taken from the last chapters of Isaiah, the prophet. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, begins with these words, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. And the rest of the book of Isaiah is taken up with comfort and consolation through the Messiah to God's people. Now, I reckon that those chapters of the Old Testament would have been Simeon's favorite chapters because he seems to refer to them quite a lot in his song. So he's waiting for the comfort to come to Israel, the comforter known as Jesus. So Simeon is a man full of expectation, waiting for God to fulfill his promises and his prophecies, a godly man and a man with great hope. What's more, he was a man with spiritual power. At the end of verse 25, we read that the Holy Spirit was on him. He wasn't just outwardly religious. His whole being was for the Lord. The Holy Spirit was on him. Furthermore, we read in verse 26 that Simeon was entrusted with an amazing piece of knowledge, an astounding revelation. Look at verse 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. This really is an astounding bit of revelation, individual revelation to one particular person. You are not going to die until you see the Lord's Messiah. And we have questions about that. We want to know, though the scriptures don't give us the answer, we want to know, when did God tell him that? When he was a little boy? When he was a teenager? When he was a young man? When did he get that information, and how did he get it? But Simeon knew that he was indestructible until a certain event took place in his life. Not many people can actually be trusted with that kind of knowledge. Only a righteous and devout man or woman could be trusted with that. Because you imagine if a foolish person got hold of this kind of knowledge, if they knew that they were not going to die until a certain event happened, then imagine what a foolish person could do. They could try and impress their friends with crazy feats. They could go skydiving without a parachute. They could go swimming with crocodiles. They could smile at Millwall supporters. Now, that kind of revelation and knowledge can only be given to a righteous and devout person, a wise person. And Simeon had this. He knew that he wasn't going to die until he met the Messiah. He was going to be alive when Jesus came. And so we read he was waiting for the consolation of Israel because he knew that he would see Jesus. So just imagine Simeon every morning waking up and wondering if it was going to be today. Every evening going to bed and wondering if it would be tomorrow. What an expectation, looking at different kinds of people wondering, are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? I wonder how strong our hope is in seeing the Messiah. Because one day every eye will see him. Your eye will see him. You will see him. What's your expectation of that day? And there will be some people who will be alive when Jesus comes back. Well, this is the kind of man Simeon was, a godly man, a man of huge hope, a man of spiritual power, and a man of great expectation. I suggest that spending an hour in Simeon's presence would have inspired you immensely. Well, the day came when Simeon did meet the Messiah. Well, we read in verses 27 and 28 the following. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and praised God. So here's Simeon. He's moved to go into the temple. Now, he's going to go into the temple the same time as Mary and Joseph and Jesus are going to go into the temple. What were Mary, Joseph, and Jesus doing there? We know why Simeon was there. It's because he was righteous and devout and often went there. But why did Mary, Joseph, and Jesus go to the temple? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jerusalem's temple was about 5 miles, let's say, north of Bethlehem. So why did they leave Bethlehem to go to Jerusalem's temple? Well, they did it in order to fulfill two requirements of the Old Testament law. In verse 22, we read this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. The law of the Lord is mentioned a lot of times in those two verses, and there's two requirements there involving childbirth. One, is purification of the mother, and two is the presentation of the infant. So Mary and Joseph had to go to Jerusalem's temple to do this, in verse 23, to present him to the Lord. That's because Jesus was the firstborn. And the firstborn of any Israelite would be presented and offered to the Lord and then redeemed back by paying 5 shekels. And Jesus had to be redeemed back by his parents, is the firstborn. And then the purification, that took place on the 41st day after childbirth. And an offering was brought. If you were rich, you could bring a lamb. But if you were poor, the concession was you could bring a dove or two. And we read here that Mary and Joseph brought a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons to the Lord because they were poor, which must mean that at this time the wise men hadn't visited them because they were fairly rich after that. So Mary and Joseph and Jesus are in the temple. Simeon is in the temple. And you see here the amazing providence of God, both converging on the temple the same time. And God's providences are very often like that. You've got numerous ones in the Old Testament where God is providing something great. And he does so by bringing 2 things together at the same time. So take Abraham and the sacrifice that was almost made of Isaac. Abraham and Isaac were coming up the mountain on one side, but at the same time, God had arranged that the ram should come up the mountain on the other side, and the 2 should be at the top at exactly the same time. And so here with Simeon, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, God arranged that they would be in the temple on exactly the same day. And what does Simeon do? Verse 28, he took the child in his arms and praised God. This is what Simeon was waiting for. And how long he'd been waiting for it, again, we don't know. Maybe since he was a teenager, we don't know. But he'd been waiting for this very day when he would see the Messiah. And he took him in his arms. And we would want to ask Simeon some questions if we were news reporters. Simeon, what was it like to hold the baby Jesus in your arms? Simeon, how did it feel to know that you were cradling the Messiah? Simeon, what were you thinking of when you held the hope of the world in your arms? Simeon, were you afraid you were going to drop him? How did it feel to know that that little baby boy that you were holding and embracing would be the means of salvation for the whole world? Well, what a moment for Simeon. What a moment of history. This man that was waiting and at last had seen what the Lord had promised. So what does Simeon do next? Well, he bursts out in song. So let's think about Simeon's song. This is recorded in verses 29 to 32. And in Simeon's song, he says 3 things about Jesus. It's a song all about Jesus. He says 3 things about Jesus. The first thing he says in Simeon's short song is this, that in Jesus, salvation has come. In Jesus, salvation has come. Look at verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Now, it might be that Simeon is quoting from his favorite Old Testament book, the book of Isaiah. But when he says that God has prepared this salvation in the sight of all the nations, that's almost a direct quote from Isaiah 52, verse 10, that says this, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. But Simeon calls this your salvation. It's God's salvation, you see. And because it's God's, it gives it as a gift to us, salvation. It's a bit of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Bit of old-time religion. Salvation, are you saved, brother? Salvation. What a wonderful word, to be saved, to know God's salvation, rescued from our sin and its consequences of hell. What a superb word, salvation, saved from all that would destroy us and embitter us. And salvation is found in this 41-day-old baby that Simeon is holding. Note the contrast, or rather the connection of two verses. Verse 28, Simeon takes this baby in his arms, and verse 30, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He's looking at Jesus and he's saying, "This is salvation." And there's no salvation without this baby. There's no salvation without this baby that grew up to be a man that died upon a cross 33 years later. This is salvation, Jesus. There's no alternatives, even though many are offered today, yet there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. For salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, Jesus. And Simeon says, first of all, in his song, "I am looking at God's salvation." In Jesus, there is salvation. And outside Jesus, there is no salvation. Are you in Jesus? Or is it just a name to you? Or was there a moment in your life or a time in your life, maybe over days, weeks, or months, a time when you decided that I've got to believe in Jesus, I've got to know him? Well, the Bible says that is coming to Christ and knowing salvation. Has that time been in your life? There's no salvation outside of Jesus. My eyes have seen your salvation. Second thing Simeon says in his song about Jesus is that Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were the non-Israelites, known in the Old Testament as the nations. And once again, this seems to be a direct quote from Simeon's favorite book, Isaiah. Isaiah 49 verse 6 says, "I will make you a light to the Gentiles." And Simeon says about Jesus, "You are a light for revelation to the Gentiles." The Old Testament nations were in darkness, like many nations today, in gloom and ignorance. Nations had no hope but false gods and bad ways. And Jesus appears and flicks the light on. And he's a revelation of everything we could not know unless Jesus had told us. And Jesus speaks about the way of salvation. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says. "No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus has told us things we could never, ever guess about God. He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He's told us about the way back to God, how to enter the kingdom. And he's told us about how to live for God and enjoy life in the kingdom. This is Jesus. He is salvation and he is revelation. He is light. But the third thing Simeon says about Jesus is that he is glory. Look at the end of verse 32. "And the glory of your people, Israel." Now, this is a very daring thing for a Jew to say. To say that in this baby is the glory of Israel. That really is daring, because glory was a major thing in Israel. There was a lot of talk about glory in the land. The Apostle Paul refers to it in Romans 9, verse 4. He says, "For the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship, theirs is the divine glory. The covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises belongs to Israel. There's glory." And the thought of God as the God of glory, translated into the glorious God, is often in the Psalms. So God's glory had a history in Israel. One day, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory cloud, entered the tabernacle and then the temple. But there also came a day when the glory cloud left the temple, and it was known as Ichabod, the glory has departed. But what Simeon here says is that glory has returned to the temple. And that fulfills a prophecy that's given in one of the prophets, saying that the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. And here he is, Jesus, the Messiah. And in Jesus, the glory has returned to Israel. So Simeon is now holding the glory of God in his arms. It really is quite amazing. You put these three elements together then, that in Jesus is salvation, is light, and is glory, and that equals what God's gift is to us in the world, for us to be saved. Simeon's vision is massive. Simeon has seen the Messiah. The promise of God has been fulfilled. Jesus has come. So Simeon says, right, I'm ready to die then. Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. He probably lived a little longer. Probably didn't drop dead the moment he gave the baby back. Maybe he lived for a few more days, weeks, months, years. Don't know. But he says, however long I'm going to live, I'm going to tell this story. So he says, I am now ready to die in peace. These are really beautiful words. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. I wonder if you're ready to say that. I wonder what it is that what you are waiting for, or what you want out of life, so that you can say, once you have got that, you can now say, I'm ready to die in peace. I wonder what it is for you. You are only ready to die in peace once you know Jesus as your Savior. And Simeon says, I've met him, I've seen him, I've held him, I'm ready to die. You know, life goes through strange different phases, doesn't it? When you're kind of under 10, it's all birthday parties. When you're a teenager, it's teenage years. Then when you get to 20 or so, it's like you're going to loads of weddings. And then life goes on, and then you're going to loads of christenings or dedications. And then life goes on, and it seems like you're going to loads of funerals. It will be your funeral and mine one day. Are you ready to die in peace? Only when you know Jesus. Well, the song is now over. And so Simeon speaks to Mary. And he says some strange things to her. Let's read from verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Those last words of verse 35, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Talk about taking the joy out of a situation. What is this? Are these just the insensitive words of an old man? So often people do say very insensitive, unthinking things to new parents. We've really got to be careful what we say. What's Simeon doing here? Is he kind of popping the balloon? A sword will pierce your own soul too? Now, this is a prophecy. And this is a reference to what would happen 33 years' time, Good Friday and the cross. The baby that Mary is carrying and caring for, whom she now cuddles and soothes, will one day have something so dreadful happen to him that it will be like a sword going through his mother's soul. A sword will pierce your soul. This is an insight into Mary's anguish at Calvary. But we'll take that up at Easter time. It's not the only thing Simeon says after the song. He also speaks about Jesus, this baby, who will be the revealer of our hearts. Again in verse 35, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's quite something again. Jesus will expose people's hearts. He will let people know what is in their own hearts. You know, who can really read the heart? Can you read your own heart, let alone other people's hearts? The map of the human heart is complex. There's deep secrets in our hearts. There's memories and joys and wounds that lie buried deep within us. And each one of us has our own unique collection of experiences that lie deep within our hearts. Things that have accumulated over the years from childhood, teenage years and adult life. Things that go towards making us what we are today, for good or for bad. There's experiences that we've had that have been buried maybe in our hearts and maybe have not been recalled because we want our own security. We don't want to remember those things. And there's teachings we've received and influences upon us and books we've read and films we've seen and relationships we've entered into. And all of that has gone into making us what we are today. And for some people, their heart is a treasure trove of memories. For other people, their heart is a rubbish dump of hurts, wounds, injuries. Some hearts have been broken. Some hearts have been made hard. Some hearts have been ripped apart. And some hearts have scars. And there comes a point when we all want to know about ourselves and what's in our heart so that we can understand ourselves. Well, that too is found in Jesus. Look again at verse 35. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, and he can tell you what's going on in your heart. No one understands the human heart like Jesus. After all, he designed it. But if you want to know what's going on in your heart, if you want the thoughts of your heart revealed, then there's a condition. And that condition is that you open your life to the Lord, that you give him your heart. Proverbs 23 says this, God says, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways. Give me your heart. What can I give him? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give him my heart. But do you? The day you give your heart to the Lord is the most precious day and the most intimate moment you can ever experience. You are saying, Lord, all that I am is yours. I give myself to you. And that is summarized by, I give my heart to you. And once God has got your heart, he gradually and gently deals with it, revealing to you what you're really like, uncovering your sins so as to forgive them, uncovering old wounds and injuries so as to heal them, uncovering bad attitudes and wrong thoughts and beliefs so as to transform them. And then he will continue to deal with your heart and reveal what's going on in there so that he can sanctify you and make you like Jesus. Jesus is the one who can deal with you as you really are and make you into what you really should be. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And you know, in one sense, that's happening right this very moment. The thoughts of your heart are being revealed to you. Even now, the thoughts of your heart towards Jesus are being revealed to you. Shall I accept what this man is saying, or shall I not? Shall I reject it, or shall I receive it? Shall I give the Lord my heart, or keep it for myself? You know, your present happiness and your future destiny depend upon giving your heart to Jesus. Look at verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. And that happened. But he is the falling and the rising of many people. What is he to you? It's your choice. Either you keep your heart to yourself and it will become increasingly shriveled, embittered by life's rough experiences, or you open your heart and give it to God. How will you respond to this Messiah, Jesus? You'll either fall because of him, or you'll rise on that last day because of him. Let's heed Simeon's song and respond in faith to the Messiah Jesus. Amen.